This is MSO News Sports. We are joined by Manny Cruz, who is a legislator-elect, if you will, from the city of Salem for the 7th Essex District, filling the seat of Paul Tucker. Manny, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Bill. Really, really excited to be with you this morning.
Well, congratulations on your primary win in earlier this month on September 6th, the Democratic primary for that House seat from Salem. And congratulations to you for winning a very competitive race, but winning it with a nice margin.
Well, thank you so much, Bill. And it was certainly a great campaign. Another opportunity to put my name out there with respect to public service in my community. And I'm certainly grateful and humbled for the support that I've received from my supporters, my volunteers, my family, and, of course, the voters of Salem. We worked really hard from launch in January all the way through, and I think that the results speak for themselves, that Salem is ready to send someone who has championed its values to Beacon Hill, and I'm looking forward to the work ahead.
Anything else, Manny? I have a few questions for you, but anything else you want to share on that campaign that for legislator?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm happy to tell folks a little bit about my candidacy, and you know, I think the campaign, as I reflect, you know, I think you know the one thing that I'm really proud of is the way that this campaign activated a new generation. I think of civic leaders. I was so fortunate to have incredible campaign staff and kitchen cabinet that reflected the diversity of Salem. It was a really historic campaign because it was the first time in which Salem would be sending a person of color. All three of the candidates in the race were persons of color to the state house. But in my campaign in particular, you know, I had a really dynamic staff. So I just want to also just call out my campaign manager, Hannah Levine, who is a recent Salem State grad. She was fantastic. And then I had a kitchen cabinet of folks that were primarily young professionals, Latino, emerging leaders in our cities, but then also some students that I had mentored. So I was really proud of the way that we ran our campaign and really put together a message and a policy platform that reflected the needs of our community in Salem across issues like education, housing, public transportation, addressing the most urgent issue, which is climate change, and then a host of other things that I know touch the lives of Salem residents. And of course, I'm incredibly humbled to have built a coalition of local and state leaders that I hope to take advantage of when I'm up there on Beacon Hill to deliver results for the city of Salem. And I can't express to you how grateful I've been to my friend, my dear friend, State Representative Paul Tucker. I used to work for him on Beacon Hill, and I will be succeeding him and hope to carry many of the good projects and bills that we had been working on when I was in his office. So I'm very excited about the opportunity to continue to do this work on behalf of our residents.
Manny, I want you to share with our listeners a little bit about your background. Currently, you're a member of the school committee in the city of Salem, and maybe a bit of a background. You didn't have it easy growing up in Salem, and maybe a note about that, graduating from Salem High School, Salem State, and so on. So I'm kind of all over the place with this question, but I know, Manny, you've been asked it, and I'm sure you can answer it.
Yeah, so a little bit about me. So by way of background, I am born and raised here in Salem. This is my hometown. I love this community, and my family came to the United States from the Dominican Republic, and my father is actually a Puerto Rican. So on my father's side, three generations. I can trace, and on my mother's side, a new immigrant experience, but I was raised by a single mom in this community, and we had survived domestic violence, and she raised three boys on her own. After escaping domestic violence, we grew up in poverty and went through the Salem Public Schools, I think carrying with me the trauma of the disruption of my early childhood, and then regrettably when my mom found herself in another situation in which she was in domestic violence. A relationship littered with domestic violence that extended to abuse towards myself and my brothers. And I think I had some really difficult times in the Salem Public Schools, but I was really fortunate that I had mentors in the classroom, like Brad Maloon, who worked at the Collins Middle School, and then out in the community at great organizations like Leap for Education, the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Salem, that really poured into my development as a young person and built me up to become a civic leader, someone that was a role model for my peers, but then also I think set me on a path that I hadn't intended to do. I was in high school a 2.0 GPA student. I was planning on going to culinary school. I wanted to be a world-class chef and own my own restaurant. So college wasn't in the cards for me, but I think my mentors, folks like Marshall Bradstreet, Linda Saris, and Andre Daly, helped me see that I had something to offer. And they took me on this journey of understanding that, civic engagement was what I was really passionate about. I was really inspired by that 2008 election of Barack Obama. And when I saw it, they hung on to that. And they took me on my first set of college tours. They talked to me about youth leadership opportunities. And once I got started, it really set me on this path to go to study political science. I did go to Salem State University after graduating from Salem High School. I eventually transferred to Northeastern, which was my dream school. But at that point, I was set on a journey in public service and coming back to Salem to bring my talents and gifts and my lived experience to be able to create positive impact, not just for our youth, but for all of our residents. And as you mentioned, I do serve on the Salem School Committee. I was the first Afro-Latino ever elected to serve on the school committee. And that has been one of the most rewarding experiences to be able to serve our children, our families, our educators, and to try to move the needle for our kids. And I think that, as I reflect on where I'm at currently in my journey, on my way to Beacon Hill to become our first Afro-Latino state representative, I realize that this is a culmination of my journey to public service. All of the folks that have supported me over the years, and I think the knowledge, the skill set, and the experience that I've built will lend itself to really allowing me to be effective on day one when I get up there.
Manny, your story points out the fact that students and adults, we all need these positive influences in our lives, I think, and those connections. So that speaks so much truth to that in your particular journey, as you're pointing out. So, Manny, let me ask you this. If you were going to cook dinner tonight for a special guest, I mean, like if you had, some friends over, what would you cook? You mentioned your culinary background.
Oh, I love that you asked me this question. So what I would cook is a traditional Dominican dish, which is known as tres golpes, which means three hits. And it is platanos, salami, and fried cheese. And sometimes you can add a fried egg to it, but it is a traditional dish that you can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's really great at brunch, and if you season it the right way, I'm telling you, Bill, you will be amazed. So that is what I would cook if I was having a special guest over, and I think in this case it would be a treat to be able to cook for any of my mentors, and I'd invite them in for a big plate.
That sounds great. As you were describing that, Manny, I'm thinking, geez, that almost sounds like a breakfast, and sure enough, there you said it. Okay, cool. Or it could be a breakfast. I get it. Okay. Manny, I want to just touch on maybe a few issues here that are, and you've already touched on it, but maybe explain a couple of things. What are one or two issues, and I'm going to limit you maybe to that. Actually, I don't have any limits for you on time or anything like that, but what are a couple of issues that I got to think education is a big one for you, being on the school committee, and you have a perspective on that from Salem, from the school committee, and now down to Beacon Hill in January. So maybe touch on education, and then we can go to a couple of other top issues.
Absolutely, Bill. So one of the most pressing issues that we face right now, coming out of this pandemic, our students have been the hardest hit when it comes to this recovery. Interrupted learning has led to a significant disruption in their lives, from their social emotional learning all the way down to their academics. It's very clear that not only as a community in Salem, but as a Commonwealth, that we have to double down on ensuring that our kids have the supports that they need to thrive in the classroom. So I think one of the things that was very apparent to me throughout all of our school committee meetings that we were having with our superintendents is that from a mental health perspective, there's a lot of students that are still reeling from the impacts of the isolation, the lack of socialization with their peers. So we have some adjustments that we need to make on our end, but we have some unique challenges right here in Salem. So out of all the gateway cities in the Commonwealth, Salem received the lowest allocation of state dollars under the new funding formula, which is known as the Student Opportunity Act. Salem received a 0.5% increase, which amounted to about $170,000, which doesn't really even cover the full cost of hiring, a couple of educators within our district. And the result of that is that we had this budget crunch last year that we were able to rectify one time. But I do think that year over year, we're going to create a fiscal hole because we need to beef up some of our staffing when it comes to guidance counselors, when it comes to adjustment counselors, and some of the mental health supports that we're able to offer to our students. And I don't want to be in a position where I'm telling families and children that are coming out of a pandemic that they're going to get less services coming to, you know, the public schools at a time in which we need more. And so, you know, what that means for me as the next state representative is I've got my hands full. I've got to go in there ready on day one, prepared to tackle this unique funding problem, which as we've tried to examine, you know, what is the genesis of this, you know, fundamentally the way that the state is doing the math with respect to Salem is, I think, incorrect, and it's not weighted equitably as we think about the students that we serve in Salem, low-income, first-generation. We have a significant portion of our students that are students with disabilities and a lot of multilingual learners, and the increments should tell us that we'd be receiving more on par with what other gateway cities are receiving. So for my part, what I'm hoping to be able to do is actually to file standalone legislation to create what I would call a Gateway Cities Education Fund that would be have some mechanics that are tied to the funding formula, but that would ensure that there are no gateway cities that are being put in this position in which they would have a fiscal cliff of support from the Student Opportunity Act. And we've done our part with respect to the formula. I think it's a strong formula, but this adjustment is going to be necessary because I don't believe that Salem is the only community that's in this position. We've already heard from communities like Malden, Revere might potentially be in this position down the line. So I think we really just have to be thoughtful about redoing that formula. And that's just one side of the issue with respect to education. Then there's the other opportunities to really accelerate learning so that all of our kids can thrive coming into our public schools and by the time they exit. So there's a few areas that I would point out to you, Bill. Number one, you know, we are still reeling from a child care crisis and the lack of access to high-quality early ed. So for my part, I want to be able to support the district's efforts to expand towards universal pre-K for all of our families. Additionally, we have a high school that is in a state of disrepair. Bill, my understanding is that you actually used to be at the high school, so you probably are aware that half of our building was rebuilt back in 2006 through 2009, but the other half remains unfinished. And we've been trying for over a decade to get that phase two project done at the high school. But if we're going to talk about redesigning our high school experience so that more kids get access to things like career vocational technical education, STEM education, more exposure to things like early college or dual enrollment, then we need a high school campus that actually reflects the 21st century. And in order for that to us to do that, we're going to have to take a look at the school building authority and reforming the way in which they calculate whether or not a school is eligible to be rebuilt. Right now, because Salem is experiencing some declining enrollment, we don't meet the threshold of having over 50% enrollment. For that building was built for about 3,000 kids. We have about 900 that are currently in there. You know, that's been the key hang-up as to why we haven't been able to really have a compelling statement of interest. But I think that needs to be recalculated in a way that gives more weight to the needs of students within a building, especially in a gateway city like Salem, which is primarily going to be low to moderate income folks that come from blue-collar, working-class families that need levers for economic mobility. So I think that that is where, you know, I'm going to be focusing my energy, is ensuring that not only are we expanding equitable opportunities like early college, expanded access to CVTE and early ed, but also thinking about our school buildings. So that's a flavor of some of the things that I'm hoping to tackle when it comes to public education, not just here in Salem, but also across the Commonwealth.
Absolutely. No, I get it. And you're absolutely right on the buildings and the old buildings, if it's just a matter of filling students up in a classroom, yeah, they might be okay. But education, as you're pointing out, you require different spaces and different services and technology and so on nowadays and access. So it's a totally, there's a lot that needs to be done for sure at Salem High. Yeah. Manny, what else? Let me just ask you one other topic. I got to, you know, I don't know which one you want to pick, whether it be housing, economic development, or what. Another huge one is mental health and opioids. I know that's a big concern of yours as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll touch on a couple of these things, and maybe I can start with public transit, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about mental health. And if there's some time, Bill, certainly want to talk about the approach here with respect to housing.
Yep, go.
So, with respect to public transit, I mean, clearly If folks have been following the news here in the Commonwealth, the MBTA is in a state of crisis. Ridership is down across the system. We've seen major infrastructure challenges. And the legislature, to their credit, has appropriately responded by providing new funding with respect to capital investment. But quite frankly, what we're really going to need is to build up the capacity of the MBTA. They've had some challenges hiring folks, and some of that might be tied to the reputation of the organization. But what I'm hoping is that our next governor will really double down on the need to understand that public transit is about economic mobility and prosperity for all of our residents, but it's also about equitable access to things like health care. It's also about equitable access to things like climate justice. If we're going to ever tackle the issue of reducing emissions in our state, a significant portion of that comes from cars on the road, then people need to have confidence that the public transit option that can get them to work is reliable, that it's safe, appropriately staffed, and actually serves the needs of our residents. So for my part, I'm a big proponent of modernization of the MBTA, ensuring that we're giving year-over-year allocations to ensure that they have what they need for capital projects, but also to do things like electrification of the rail, to increase the frequency of service with respect to both commuter rail and the subway system. And I think that that is the type of urgency that we need to have if we're going to meet any of our goals around climate, getting folks back to the office and ensuring that people have access to high-quality transit in the brain capital of the U.S. Now, with respect to Salem's interest in public transit, Bill, you've spent a good amount of time in Salem. We have a busy season here in October, visitation year-round. And my preference is that all of our visitors come to Salem actually taking the MBTA rather than driving in, because, quite frankly, you just can't get around town in early September now through October. But I think about our residents and what they need from the MBTA. So one of my big priorities is actually to build a new station stop here in Salem, and in South Salem specifically. Our residents in South Salem for decades have been advocating for a South Salem station stop. This is the top priority of the Salem Partnership, our largest employers. They've identified a location, kind of where Salem State University and Salem Hospital meet. And this would be an equity strategy that would allow all of our Salem South residents who might have last mile transportation challenges to be able to access the commuter rail and public transit so that they can get to their appointments, they can get to work. But it's also a regional strategy for creating access for the other gateway cities and important communities that are on our rail. If you think about Salem State University as one of our more affordable state universities, strong nursing programs, strong education programs, strong business, communities like Boston, Chelsea, Lynn, all the way up to Gloucester would finally be able to, actually have access to those universities without getting dropped off in the middle of downtown and then having to figure out, how you would get access to Salem State or Salem Hospital. So that's the public transit priorities that I have. And then with respect to your question around mental health, this is, I think, one of the most important things that we can do is try to address this dual crisis that we have in our Commonwealth and our country of the opiate crisis, but then also a reeling community when it comes to mental health. Regrettably, Bill, I've had five friends that I've lost to suicide and far too many to overdoses here in our state. And I think that what we really need is to destigmatize access to mental health, but we also need to ensure that we have the right mechanics in place with respect to access. And so for me, that means that, from a K-12 perspective, we need to make new investments to ensure that every student, right, can have access to the type of psychiatric support they might need within their school building. But then also thinking about the ways in which insurance and our capacity to serve these folks can be increased. There's a lot of services that aren't covered currently by insurance with respect to mental health and behavioral health or substance abuse. Sometimes it's a matter of the length of stay that you can have with respect to substance use disorders. So I think it's going to be critically important that as a Commonwealth, if we're going to talk the talk about wanting to address the mental health crisis that has been exacerbated by the pandemic, but then also the isolation that has led to increased overdoses in certain communities, then we really need to get real about the type of state resources that we're putting into our healthcare system to ensure that people can address their dual diagnoses, because at times what we find is a lot of the folks that are experiencing mental health challenges may also have a substance use disorder. And so to that end, I think the type of advocate that I want to be is one that can bring together coalitions to not only think about the crisis supports that we can offer to a person who's battling depression, bipolar disorder, you name it, and have this community-based approach, but as we think about substance use disorder, we still have more work to do to increase access in communities across our Commonwealth. And so for my part, you know, that is the type of priorities that I have, you know, not just bringing in dollars into institutions, but thinking about, you know, what can the state do to incentivize regionalization and partnerships around mental health and substance use disorder so that there is access to beds, that insurance can cover more services, and that we think about the way in which the state is able to work with local communities to do this important outreach work.
Manny, we'll stop here, but man, I'll tell you, you know, the next representative from the city of Salem has enthusiasm, energy, and focus, and a great product from Salem High School and Salem State and Northeastern. Manny, thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Well, thank you so much, Bill, for having me. It was such a pleasure. I look forward to future opportunities to engage, and I just want to thank you for the important work that you do as a member of the media. I know that at times folks feel like they are under assault. So I just want to tell you that you play this important role of checks and balances, not only providing accountability, but also giving access to our local elected officials. So to that end, Bill, I definitely hope to be back, and I look forward to future invitations to participate in your program.
Well, Manny, with that closing, you'll be back very soon.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, hang on the line just for a second. That's Manny Cruz, state representative-elect, 7th Essex, City of Salem. I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.